When I preached on Daniel chapter 9, I was talking to you about the time factors that were involved and so on. And I told you about an error that we discovered in the calendar. And I said that I had an article for that I wanted to get for it. And I couldn't find it. However, I did preach on Daniel's 70 weeks in Clamath Falls, and I handed out the same article there. And I contacted one of the brethren, and they sent me a copy, and so I've made copies of that. I'll put it right there for now. In case I forget to put it on the back table, you know where it is if you'd like a copy. It's a relatively short article, but the amount of time that this brother put into his article, I think, man, it should have been the length of a book. It's amazing how much work he put in it, but I think it's a very good work. And you would probably appreciate it. Some of it may get complicated, but anyways, let's turn to Daniel chapter 12. The message is the same, whether it is the book of Zechariah, Revelation, or Daniel. It appears that evil prevails, but God manipulates things behind the scenes that both he and his people will prevail. Now, a couple of weeks ago when we were in Daniel chapter 11, it appeared that evil prevailed over the Jews, or that it was going to. The Lord showed Daniel the constant wars between the two of the kingdoms left from the breakup of Alexander the Great's kingdom. The Lord focused especially on Antiochus Epiphanes and his horrible evil against the Jews, although he did show slivers of hope in that chapter. In Daniel chapter 12, the Lord shows that God's people will always, ultimately, prevail. Let's look now at Daniel 12, verses 1 through 3. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now it's important to notice how this begins. Verse 1. At that time. And you notice in the reading that he said it again, about halfway through. At that time. Here's what's crucial. The events of Daniel chapter 12 are still dealing with the events of chapter 11, which was not about the events surrounding the second coming of Christ. Therefore, what follows in chapter 12 has to be interpreted in that historical light. That is, the historical light of the things that are going on in chapter 11. This has led me, this past week, to change some of my thinking in regard to some things in this chapter, especially verse 2, and whether the prophecy there is of the future bodily resurrection. I do believe the New Testament teaches that there is yet a resurrection, a bodily resurrection that will occur at the second coming of Christ. But based upon the context, I don't think that's what Daniel or the Lord's talking about in verse 2. And we'll talk about that a little later. So at that time, he says, Michael shall stand up, and he says that there would be a time of trouble. the Lord, revealing these things to Daniel, identifies when these things shall take place. At that time is when Antiochus of the Greeks is reigning. For that's what much of the prophecy is about in chapter 11. Therefore, even as there is no need to jump thousands of years into the future between chapter 11, verse 35, and verse 36, as I showed you a couple of weeks ago, so there is no reason to jump thousands of years into the future from the end of chapter 11 to the beginning of chapter 12. The Lord didn't give this to Daniel in chapter and verse divisions. It's all one prophecy speaking all about the one particular point in history. While the Jew-hating Antiochus works as evil, God's people shall not be alone, but Michael the archangel shall stand up for God's people, as he evidently does through all the ages, not to remove them from persecution and suffering, but to deliver them at God's appointed time, because, he says, their names are written in the book. Now, I'd like to just stop here for a moment and just show you the abundance of Scripture, both Old and New Testament, that make reference to names in a book. Or we'll find some other expressions that will be very similar to that. Before Daniel's writing, there are several references. In Exodus 32, verses 32 and 33, you'll find this. Moses says to God, "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, blot me out of your book, which you have written." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." Psalm 56, verse 8. "You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?" Psalm 69, verse 28. "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous." Isaiah 4, verse 3. "And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem." Ezekiel 13, verse 9. "My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God." But after Daniel's time, it continues in Luke chapter 10. Verse 20. Jesus said to his apostles, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this," that is, that the angels are subject to you, that the spirits are subject to you, "but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Hebrews 12, verse 23. Now, this one, personally, is my favorite here. It says, "We have come to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the Judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect." The reason that's my favorite is because, you know, I've gone someplace before where I was supposed to be pre-registered, and it was an important event. And I got there, and they didn't have the information. And I wasn't going to be able to take part in it until they found that. I don't want to get there to the judgment day and God say, "Well, you're not registered here." You know, I have to make sure that he finds Don Rule's name written. Okay, all the rest of these will be in Revelation. Revelation 3, verse 5. "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Chapter 13. Verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, that is the beast, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life. Then chapter 20, starting at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. The death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, chapter 21, verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, speaking of heaven, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then the last one, the last chapter, Revelation 22, verse 19. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. So there was just a bunch of scriptures from both the Old and the New Testaments, Daniel's being the last one that's found chronologically or in the order of the Bible, that's found in the Old Testament. So you can see this reference here to those found written in a book at the end of verse 1 of Daniel 12 is quite a prevalent doctrine in Scripture. Okay, so let's go back to Daniel chapter 12, and now verse 2. He says, many shall awake. And then goes on to speak as though it sounds like the resurrection that we're still waiting for. And I used to believe that this was a prophecy of that bodily resurrection. As I prepare for this lesson, though, I just kept reading the context. Going back to the previous verses, remembering what was happening, going clear back to chapter 10, what he's been saying in chapter 11, and he continues it in chapter 12. And so I realized that the resurrection spoken of here has to be something that took place during the events of which the Lord has been speaking to Daniel. Some people will even say, not speaking about the and resurrection, but some will say, well, it's actually a spiritual resurrection that happens when Christ comes to the earth and people hear his word and they believe it and obey it, so they have a good resurrection in that sense, but some turn to evil by rejecting him, and so they have shame and everlasting contempt, as verse 2 mentions here. However, I've come to believe that this has to be some kind of figurative resurrection. When Antiochus finally ends his reign of terror, and it's because of his death, then those who withstood him, maintaining their righteousness, will be seen as heroes. Because, chapter 11, verse 32, they knew their God, and, verses 33 and 35, they instructed many. But those who sided with Antiochus, again chapter 11, verses 30 and 32, shall be seen as the traitors that they were. Thus they shall have everlasting shame and contempt. Now he goes on to say, those who are wise, back here in Daniel 12, those who are wise, verse 3, shall shine. Again back in chapter 11, verses 33 and 35 shows that these wise people understood these things and instructed others. And truly, the glory of the wise is not evident at first, but it is the testing of them and their wisdom that is displayed later. These people shall shine like the stars. Interestingly, today we call actors and professional athletes stars. But how many of them fit the picture that is painted here? some actors are some of the most wicked and foolish people on earth. Yet there are stars among the people of the earth, but not as the world defines them, but rather as the Lord pictures them in Daniel chapters 11 and 12. Now verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Interestingly, while Daniel was told to seal the book, John, when he writes the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, verse 10, is told not to seal up the words of his prophecy. You see, Daniel could search and search, exercising great mental ability, but from his perspective in history, he would never be able to figure out what he was writing. But we can. We, in that regard, then have a greater knowledge of Daniel's own writings than he did. Now he says, the Lord speaking to Daniel, many shall run to and fro. I know that is often looked at as worldwide travel of today or some future date, but I'm not speaking about that at all. Again, keeping it in context. Many things were going to be happening. Do you remember chapter 11? I know that was a couple of weeks ago. Maybe, I guess it's 3 weeks ago that I preached on that. There was a lot of activity going on in that chapter. In other words, many things are going to be going on, people running to and fro to bring about the fulfillment of the prophecies or of these messengers from the Lord in the book of Daniel. So Daniel, you sit back and complete your writing. Do not worry about things. There's going to be plenty of activity going on, both in front of the curtain and behind. But it is the Lord's doing. Knowledge shall increase, Daniel 12 and verse 4 also says. Again, not referring to what many would say is the information age today, but knowledge concerning Daniel's prophecy shall increase as events unfold, which is exactly what has happened. Brother Don Michael, again, I know has done a lot of work on this, and he's given me some material to use when I go back and teach Daniel 11 in a class, but there he's done so much of the research for me. It's so nice having him do that. And he's got it marked in the book and everything. You can open up, for example, Will Durant's History of Civilization, a big volume set that he's got. He's given me the copy that I need. It's not written as a commentary on the Bible, but there you can read the history and see Daniel's prophecies fulfilled. Daniel couldn't do that. We can. So knowledge increases as time went on. We could increase in our knowledge of the things that Daniel spoke about. Therefore, Daniel could not by any effort increase his knowledge of the things that he wrote in his prophecy or in the rest of his book. Some things he could see after having seen them fulfilled, but very few. For example, he saw Persia take over Babylon. He prophesied of that and he saw it, but beyond that, he doesn't even know what he was talking about. Verses 5 through 7 now. Some angels get involved. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river. That's the one who appeared to Daniel in chapter 10, whom I believe is the Lord, even the Lord Jesus. Okay, so this angel asks this question. How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Okay, so now there's three. There's the Lord and there's the two angels. He holds up both hands as he swears. You know, we might hold up one hand, you know, whatever the thing is, but he's holding up both hands so that with all authority and power, he declares the time. has control of the times and the events. How long is the question? Angels are greater than men, yet they defer their questions to the Lord, because even they don't know all the Lord's plans. Now here is again something that I find to be incredibly fascinating. It's Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to listen to this very carefully, and you've probably read this passage many times, and I don't know if you've seen what I just saw this week or not, but when I saw this, I thought, man, I've known this passage. I had to memorize it in preaching school, and I just have never really let its power hit home the way it did as I compared it to Daniel chapter 12 and with what we've been saying about the increase in knowledge and so on. In Ephesians 3 and verse 10, Paul says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. There are some things, evidently, that not even the angels knew until the church started proclaiming. The church knew about some things first. Of course, handed down by the Holy Spirit to the apostles. That's what he's been saying in the previous 9 verses. How fascinating. There's some things angels don't know. Of course, God knows all things. And angels know more than we do. But in this regard, the church, as it preached, made known to them some things. Anyways, he says, the answer is, the time shall be 3.5. Time, times, and then how do you get half a finger up there? Is how you do that. And this expression is found in various forms throughout Scripture. And this pictures perfectly the time that Antiochus would do his evil in Jerusalem for 3.5 years, from 168 B.C. to 165 B.C. And he says, the power of the holy people shall be completely shattered. Antiochus would go right into the temple, stop the Jews' practice, take total control of their government and everything about them, even try and change their culture. And then he would even march right into the temple and put there his abomination of desolation, the god Jupiter, right in the Jews' temple. And the Romans, incidentally, did the same thing in A.D. 70. Now, let's end the book of Daniel here by reading this last portion. Although I heard, I did not understand. Man, was I glad to read that. Because, man, there's been a whole lot that I don't understand. And I've told you already, I've changed on something in verse 2. And if I need more instruction on something, I'm certainly open to anything. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time, that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Which is the same as time, times, and half a time, or 3.5 years. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. An additional 45 days added on to that other. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. And that there is very clear, I think, in that case, referring the end, or yet of future resurrection. Daniel did not understand, and he's certainly not the only one who had trouble understanding Scripture. I want to tell you something. As I prepared 3 weeks ago for Daniel chapter 11, that was the most frustrating and difficult sermon preparation I have ever done in 25 years of full-time preaching.
it was so complicated and there was so much going on. And I didn't even give you three quarters of what I discovered, which is why I want to go back and do the class. Daniel wanted to know what shall be the end. The message of chapter 11 was about bad things, for the most part, happening to God's people. And Dan, naturally, Daniel wants to know when it will end. Well, Daniel was just to go his way because the understanding would be revealed at the end. Therefore, the events of which Daniel writes are of a time after his, so that neither he or anyone he knows personally shall experience the horrors that are revealed there in chapter 11. So Daniel, you just go about your business, trust in the Lord completely to punish the evildoers and to resurrect the wise. Many want to know the time of the end, even now. They kind of are like Daniel here. But God simply tells us to go on our way. Be wise, be holy, do your good works, do your business. Knowing that there is an end, God wants us to know that. And He wants us to look at those things and not to be consumed with them. We should realize God has everything in control. The pure and wise shall understand at that time, he says, verse 10. Even as the apostles understood, for example, in John chapter 2, Jesus prophesies of his resurrection, but he talks about a temple, and they had no idea what he was talking about. And John 2:22 says, later, after its fulfillment, then they understood and remembered what he said. Same thing going on here in Daniel. Yet the wicked, he says, shall continue to do wickedness, that's verse 10 of Daniel 12, regardless of their knowledge or ignorance, they just continue in their wickedness. The time between, this is verse 11 now, between the taking away of the daily sacrifices and the setting up of the abomination of desolation shall be 1290 days, he says. There is a blessing, verse 12, for he who waits and comes to, he says, the 1335 days. Which you can tell is 35 days longer than the other one. But it's difficult for us to know, is he just talking about tacking on 45 days to the 1290? Or is he talking about a whole other time period? But the point is, be patient. Verse 13, Daniel was simply to go his way. He shall rest. He will arise to his inheritance at the end. We can read and meditate on these matters, but some things will always be a mystery to us. Therefore, we need to go our way and live as God wants. He wants us to know that all things are within His control. But be faithful until death is the main thing He wants from us. Longfellow wrote, let us then be up and doing with a heart for any faith, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait. So rather than frustrating ourselves trying to understand some impossible things, which I wish I had read that in Daniel 12 before I tried to tackle Daniel's method, Daniel is showing us in verse 3 to win others, we would say, to Christ now. Be content to let God deal with the hidden things, verses 8 and 9. Grow in holiness, verse 10. And wait on the Lord and rest in Him, verses 12 and 13. The last thing I want to give you tonight is from 1 Peter chapter 1. I think 1 Peter chapter 1 shows exactly what Daniel was doing here. What he was doing in researching Jeremiah's writings, if you remember, we looked at that. And also when he's questioning the Lord here about these things. But 1 Peter 1 shows us he was not able to achieve what he wanted to. Yet we can now have the fullness of his prophecies and of God's promises. All of the Bible, all of history, and all of heaven's activities have been focused on what we now enjoy as Christians. 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 12 is a good way to end this series on Daniel. For I think it speaks of Daniel as well as the other prophets. But listen to this. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, such as in Daniel 9, Daniel 70 weeks, speak about the crucifixion of Christ, his suffering, and the salvation that it would bring. Verse 11, showing what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who is in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories of the following. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, the great prophet Daniel could not even enjoy the things he wrote about in that book, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. And didn't we see the angels do that tonight? How long, Lord? We are in a blessed condition. If you're not yet in Christ, and you're ready to be, and you see how all of heaven is waiting for your response, or if there's some other way in which we can be of help to you, please come forward now as we stand and sing.